Morning and welcome to Coffee Table. I'm here with guests Kim Ketter, Rachel Lord, Dwayne Nussville, and Carolyn Minuti. So I think we should just go down the table and have everyone introduce themselves and what they want to accomplish if they're elected to city council. Dwayne, you want to start?
Sure. I'd like to thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for coming.
With the shrinking economy, funds, it's time to come up with different solutions on fulfilling the gaps that we're experiencing. We need to look for infrastructure and buildings to businesses to fill that gap. And I think with my business experience and that would be an avenue that would be greatly used as a great resource for Homer. And I see such potential here. I look at the city and the situation, and look at other cities too around the state that are on the ocean, and I just see a lot of opportunities.
All right, thank you so much, Kim.
My name's Kimberly Ketter, and well, my first thing to achieve, what I plan to achieve on council, is finding a way to heal and mend the community from the devastating repercussions, I'll put it like that, from the failed recall effort, which I feel divided the community in a negative manner. So that would be my first goal, in addressing addiction and other issues, and in trying to just get everybody on the same page as far as understanding, working as a whole, and listening to one another's opinions, and then at the end of the day, putting politics aside and working together to accomplish solutions to issues going on in the city.
All right, thank you. Rachel?
Yeah, my name's Rachel Lord, and I am a mother and a small business owner, and as a member of this community, really wanting to provide a voice at the table, to work with other council members to understand what we can do to support year-round working families, and to balance all the government services that the city does provide in a way that we can afford in the long term. And there's no, you know, I think a really appreciating that there's no silver bullet, that there's no one answer that's going to fix the fiscal gap that we're facing, that's going to fix and meet all the needs that we have, that I think my experience and my ability to listen and to respectfully listen to all sides and to critically think and address issues, I think is really important always, but I think especially at this time with the state of the fiscal crisis, both here in, you know, our looming fiscal crisis here in Homer and the current one that we are experiencing in the state. And that's going to continue to have repercussions down to the municipalities.
And my name is Caroline Venuti, and I am a citizen of Homer, and I just happen to love our community very, very much. I want to work with the city council to make sure that when we build new infrastructure, that it's up to the safety and resilience that needs to be for a natural disaster. This would include the existing facilities also. Also, I would like to work with Homer to become a place where each person has a stake and a responsibility for the health of our community. And I'm proud of the way that the City Council's moving forward to have equal access to opportunities and businesses in Homer, and I will continue to work on that also. I want to thank KVBI for this opportunity.
Thank you so much. So being in City Council is not a one-person show. Can we go down the list and go through, starting with Carolyn, about times you had to work as a team, work in a cooperative fashion, experience regarding that?
I was an elementary teacher for 30 years, so I've had a lot of training on how to get the best out of your people, population that you work with. I truly believe in listening, and I think that I am a good listener. I try to listen and not have a decision made ahead of time, but give it a lot of thought when I make a decision into something. As a teacher, I gained a lot of experience in people that think outside of the box, and so I think I know how to bring out the best of the people that might come to a meeting with an idea out of the box that might sound a little like it can't be done, but I'm proud that I'm a problem solver, and I think sometimes I can look at problems and solve them. So thank you.
Hi, thank you. Rachel?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve of 2012, two vessels sank that were tied up in Jackaloff Bay, and they had been left there. They had been denied entrance to the Homer Harbor, several of other harbors, and they were tied up on state waters and sank. And that really catalyzed an ongoing concern to look to try to come up with a solution dealing with derelict vessels around the state. And so since early 2014, I've been the facilitator of an ad hoc statewide task force looking at the issue of derelict vessels around Alaska. That task force has included members of state, federal agencies, local municipalities, the Statewide Harbor Masters Association, private entities, and other nonprofit and other engaged parties, stakeholders in the issue. And I think through that and other similar experiences of really sitting at a table and having the job be to listen, to hear, and to wade through and keep an eye on what that primary goal and primary issue is, I have developed a lot of skills, I think, in that arena to do creative problem solving, to look to see how we can, again, continue to listen to one another and keep an eye on what that need is, what that problem is that needs to be solved. And on the derelict vessel issue, we are currently working with Senator Machicki. We have Senate Bill 92 is in Senate Resources and will be picked back up. So, you know, I mean, it's been a really satisfying process, and I think to some degree the council does serve a role of facilitation, of listening to the citizens of the city and listening to the employees of the city and trying to understand how we can move forward collectively.
All right, thank you. Kimberly?
Well, the most experience I had working as a team, which was highly important, was my service in the United States Navy. We had to learn everything, firefighting, how to plug holes from flooding, how to pump water out. So it's essential to rely on your shipmates in situations like that. Besides that, I sat on a Democratic board in Pennsylvania, and there was a lot of diverse opinions there. But I also paid attention to the other, you know, to the Republican Party, too, because there's a lot of things I agree with on that side. That's why I say it's important to be open-minded and listen and respect one another's opinions, and at the end of the day, really put that all aside. I'd like to say the Democrats and Republicans both stand by the Constitution. So, but I feel it's essential that the council board not only always work as a whole and not let things tear it apart, but have an adequate representation for the citizens on the board. And I'll be real honest, when it's made up of all business owners, I don't see that fair representation that I feel needs to be there for the citizens of Homer. So somebody that is their sole interest, which is mine. My sole interest, I don't own a business or anything, so my sole interest is the citizens and what falls on burdening their pockets, which seems like often, when it's already very high cost of living here. And that's a concern of mine, especially because of the economy.
All right, thanks, Dwayne.
I think my greatest experience was when I was working at Federal Cartridge doing it's an ammunition manufacturer. And as part of my job there was final acceptance testing for government agencies and for law enforcement. And when I did that test, it was I had to work with the production lines. I had to work with the engineers. I had to work with governments and their contracts. And so it was a pretty tough juggling act to make everybody happy, but that was my best experience of with trying to keep everything together and to come up with a final product that was acceptable. And my goal was always to have it far above acceptable. So, but there's in that situation, I learned a lot about dealing with different entities of the same company, and I think you can apply them type things to the people of Homer. I know that we have a diverse community, and there is a lot of people with different ideas. So, but I am more than willing to listen and to weigh it out, and we'll see what the best solution is for this city.
Great, fantastic. Remember, if you're listening, you can call in with questions at 235-7721 or 800-979-5224. Lines are open. So getting elected to city council, you can't do everything you want. So what would be your top three priorities on something to focus on? And I'll start with Dwayne.
My top priority is to fill the gap that's coming. At the last council meeting, they talked about that a little bit, and we have to be prepared. They had a, I can't remember what they call it now, where were disaster plans at the last council meeting, and that's probably another one that I would focus on. And the other thing I would do is I want to bring opportunities here for young people. I would like to see better jobs. I'd like to see more jobs. I'd like to, instead of seeing so many young people leave Homer, I'd like to them to have that opportunity to, you know, be able to have a life here and a successful life, and be able to raise a family and go into retirement. And so that would be my top three things.
All right, thank you. Kimberly?
I already stated the first one, which includes that the community I feel first needs to heal and recover still from the recall effort. Addiction, I'm passionate about, and I feel needs highly addressed. I feel like that's why our crime rate possibly has went up, because when people don't have adequate comprehensive approaches to something like the days of addiction, more often than not, they go back to what they knew, which I can tell you from experience is unhealthy behaviors. And beyond that, what's most important, we get nothing done, is our budget. Our budget has to tighten up for this fiscal year approaching, and we only have $10 million in our reserves account. We like to have 40, so I'm scrutinizing the budget and assessing what's highly important and what's not. For instance, the things concerning the hospital are necessary to me, and a lot of things involving the spit. About the ice situation where the ice needs improved, and the mooring and large vessel haul lot repairs, highly important to me in the budget. So that's a main priority of mine as well. Like I said, we get not much accomplished if we don't focus and scrutinize that pretty well, real well.
All right, thank you.
So I think that the top priority really for the city and facing council is to really move forward on the new police station. I don't think there's a lot of disagreement in the community that the police station needs to be addressed, and we need solutions there. There's not yet a super clear solution for that, but I think that has to be a top priority moving forward, and to come up with something that the community can afford, not just to build, but to operate and maintain, but that will not just be a temporary Band-Aid so we find ourselves in the same position just 5 years down the line or whatnot. Supporting the maritime industry here and our port and harbor, the expansion of the harbor for a large vessel harbor and the barge basin, the moorage and the repair facility, I think is, we have really strong marine trades here in Homer, and we will all be very well served by continuing to support and move those forward. And then finally, as the previous two candidates have mentioned, the budget is, of course, a huge issue, and we are diverting HART funds right now into the general fund that will stop in 2019. And that is, you know, our own kind of internal fiscal cliff. And there's not going to be a silver bullet. There's not going to be a silver bullet from the state. There's not going to be a silver bullet from really any one cut or any one revenue generation. It's going to be creative problem solving left and right and trying to figure out how to balance that budget, not put it all on the backs of our employees, not put it all on the backs of the taxpayers, not put it all in one place or another, but to try to work together to figure out where are the places that we can move that forward in a sustainable way.
This is Caroline, and I my number one, I think, would be the police station also. It's a very old building. It needs to definitely be replaced. But keeping an eye on climate change, keeping informed on our climate change, on the climate change, and working to ensure that we have adequate, resilient infrastructure for this coastal community as we go forward in building the police station is one of the priorities for me. Another one is road maintenance and looking at the bluff. And when we have high tides and hot wind that comes from the direction of the south, making sure that we have guardrails where they're needed, that we have a plan in place if the road crumbles too deeply. And I think that includes working as a city council to work with the agencies that maintain that and looking for grants and looking for their solutions, because they've been looked at by lots and lots of people. And now we just need to look at all those solutions and pick one that works. And I think the funding is there, because I think the state is aware that our road system is crumbling, especially along the bluff. A third thing I'd have is, when I look at the budget, I want to make sure that I attend all the sessions, and that we encourage the citizens in Homer to attend the sessions and give us their ideas too. There's a finite amount of money in the budget, and it's really just an act of moving it into the places that are for the common good, that do the most good for the most people that live in our community. So, thank you.
All right, thank you. Just a reminder, the lines are open. Call 235-7721 or toll-free 800-979-5224. Let's talk about the harbor, where it stands now, how you feel about it, and any changes you would like to make. I'll start with Catherine. Caroline, I'm so sorry.
Okay, this is Caroline again. I think the ice plant for sure needs to be looked at very carefully. And some money, it does make money, and we need to provide ice for the products that come in from from this area. So I think maintaining a really good, efficient ice plant, definitely keeping the port safe. I like the idea that I know now when I go down to the boat harbor. And I have to admit, I don't own a boat anymore. But when I go down to the boat harbor with my dog and we perhaps walk the boat harbor, I'm happy to see that there are trash cans available, that the water isn't leaking anymore, that they have really done some upgrades to the floats, and that they're much safer. They're not near as slippery and mossy. So, and continuing to make it safe for people that want just to walk, just the people that want to enjoy the boat life but not necessarily be on the water. And then, of course, I'm always keeping an eye out for the Coast Guard, being that I was born in Kodiak, and the Coast Guard is so important. I want to make sure that we continue our real wonderful relationship with the Coast Guard, and that we're attuned to their needs as they dock here, and make them feel that this is a safe place for their boats, and that we do everything we can to keep the Coast Guard here in our hometown.
All right, Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm extremely dedicated to our working waterfront, our port and harbor. I'm the executive secretary of the statewide Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators, and in that role, I help the association facilitate strengthening port and harbors around the state of Alaska. And I've also done a lot of work with the city. The city was the pilot community for the statewide Alaska Clean Harbors program. So looking at non-regulatory and voluntary ways to reduce waste and reduce pollution in the harbor system. And that's now a statewide program that's run by the Marine Exchange out of Juneau. I do think that moving forward on the haul out and repair facility and moving that to a place where the most amount of work can be done in as safe and environmentally sound way as possible. And so, you know, that is a top priority in the city's capital improvement plan. And I think that that continuing to move that so we can, there's a lot of work and there are a lot of boats that leave Homer to go elsewhere just because we don't have the physical space for them to be. And so we have a lot of maritime trades here that can support that kind of work. And so it would be great to continue moving those projects forward. And there are, you know, I mean, there are projects happening. Valdez is building a new harbor as we speak. You know, there are big projects happening around the state. And I think we would be well served to not lose sight of that and to keep aggressively moving forward to keep that business and keep those vessels here in Homer to generate that revenue here and to support and expand our harbor and marine trades.
All right, Kimberly.
I definitely support the Port and Harbor wood grade replacement project that was built 40 years ago. Little has been done to it. A lot of vessels use it, obviously, to work on their hulls when the tide goes out. And it's an inexpensive way so people can make repairs on those hulls. So I'd like to keep those people here so they are able to do that. And obviously, it benefits the city. I'm definitely for the barge mooring and large vessel haul lot repair facility. It's absolutely necessary. The ice plant upgrade is necessary on the Homer Spit. And, well, marijuana, I'm for on the Spit because I feel it's a great tourist attraction for the Spit and will bring in great revenue. I mean, I think of how many Americans I know that went to Amsterdam just to go to a marijuana coffee shop. So given with all the alcohol in the Spit and stuff, and everybody I know smokes pot's pretty peaceful, so I don't see any problem with that at all. And but I was looking at, and I'd have to further look into it still, to be honest, about the where they load the trucks down on Fish Dock Road, because the conditions down there aren't too great for our workers, and then the fishing industry does bring in the most money here, that industry, and I know they're taxed millions just for the fish crossing the dock, and then the jobs are, I'd like to take a look at that too, because the jobs go elsewhere for cheap and they could stay here, but it's cheaper for jobs to be exported to other people or people to come and work them cheap. And I feel that's, you know, not only about keeping the maritime industry alive and going, and, you know, but that being bringing in the most money. I know I like the fish process, you know, and I've always wondered, you know, last year I recommended at the chamber to possibly the businesses on the Spit offer them an incentive to hire locally first. And the reason I say that is because us citizens live here, so we stay here to spend the money year-round versus somebody coming and working at casual employment over the summer and going back to Georgia or wherever they came from and spending the money in that economy that's made here in Homer. I'd like to try to keep any money made in Homer by people working here, if possible. I mean, not only to benefit the city, but to benefit the citizens where there is definitely a lack of year-round stable job employment.
Okay. I think the plans that they have are good for a starter, but I would like to see us even expand more. I'd like to see us get involved with shipping of containers. I think there's, you know, we're closer than Anchorage. We can ship to Kenai, Soldotna, and Seward. It's closer for us to do that. With Anchorage docks being in the shape that they're in, I think this is a real opportunity for that door to open. We are right next to the Gulf. Shipping going down the chain to Kodiak, the other villages, I think that's a real opportunity that could be a door that's open right now with Anchorage in their dock state. I can't remember. I read it in the paper here a while ago. They said maybe, I think it was 10 years, major docks would have to be taking place. So that's a real opportunity for us to step into. I like, you know, the large boat harbor. I like to pull out for the larger boats. I do have a question about that. I would like to find out if what the revenue on pull out for the large ships were. I'm not familiar with that. So, and what the cost would be for that. And so I would, not that I'm totally against it. If it's a profitable deal, I think for Homer, I'd, you know, push for it. I just have some questions about that. But I think for Homer, that's where it all starts. I think if we can get some shipping in, maybe we can bring some more industry in here. Maybe we can be exporting. I know there's a couple businesses here that I was thinking that, you know, they would probably have problems shipping their stuff to Anchorage. But if they could ship it out of here, they could ship it down to the lower 48. And mm-hmm. So I just see trucking jobs. I see it just multiple and multiplies as we look at it. That piece of property out there is a key to igniting more business for Homer.
All right, let's go on to experience with finances, experience with budgets. Let's just go down the list and say how you're prepared to manage a budget, come city council. Let's start with Dwayne.
Well, I think we got to be really open-minded here. I think we have to look to private industry. We have to look to investors. We have to look to different means of, I know we have some state and federal funds there for that, but I know it's not nearly enough. So what that would take, I don't have an exact answer for, but we have to be thinking out of the box, and we need to be looking for companies that are successful companies, but the situations of the economy is slowing them down, and they'd be eager to invest in different opportunities of the harbor. And so but I think that's the key. I think that the key is to get that thing operational, running smoothly, running efficiently, and being able to reap the rewards off that.
All right, Kim?
Well, regarding finances and the budget, like I said, it takes close scrutiny. What I'm looking at now is what projects, I'm looking at like phases of projects. If we're heading into phase two, and which ones that are in phase one that are being proposed that we can possibly put off because they're going to take longer term to generate revenue back to the city. So I'm looking at the budgets and the finances to see what cuts can be made, even though I may not like some of them, but I'm trying to prioritize what's important for people. But, you know, two of the hospital things I'm for, though, are already funded. So I forgot to mention the pavilion out on the Homer Spit, that already has funding. but there's a lot of important stuff going on, like, you know, the communications with the radio, for instance, and I believe the police department found some funding for two things under that category, but we already put $1 million aside for the police boning, and we don't know how we're going to pay for it. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like 5 years from now for younger generations coming up, and I don't have any clarity on whose pockets that's going to fall on. And to be honest, I wanted to take a look at building up in that, and right in that location. I wanted to do some research on the architect and stuff that would be safe, obviously, for earthquakes or disasters. But I mean, I was told that building has to stand, but I also can see rebar going around it and building around it and making use still of those materials. I think that's more cost effective, and I think the location next to the school, the high school and in the fire department, makes a lot of sense. So that's where I'm at with that. Thanks.
Well, I think, I mean, as we've talked before already, that there is no silver bullet to deal with, you know, I mean, really most problems, right? Most problems are pretty gray. There's not a lot of black and white. And so with the budget, that is the case. As far as, you know, what my experience is to come to the table to help work on that problem with the council and with the staff and with the community, is you know, one, you know, my husband and I are both small business owners. We both live frugally and have experience, you know, kind of trying to balance, you know, knowing that our expenses and revenue have to balance out to some degree. I do firmly believe that government is not private business, and that there are some parallels you can draw, but there are limits to that comparison. I have sat on a number of boards. I currently sit on the Homer Farmers Market Board of Directors, and I previously sat on the Kachemak Heritage Land Trust's Board of Directors. And as a board member, your primary duty is to have a fiduciary responsibility to that organization, to ensure that those funds are being spent in a way that has long-term sustainability. And so I do have a lot of experience with looking at transparent budgets, at open budgets. I used to work for a nonprofit organization. Our budget process, our revenue, and our expenses were all very transparent. And I believe that is true also for the city. It's just a much larger budget, and so it's a huge amount to work through. And so I think that there's a lot of opportunity there to continue to look at that and figure out what are the bits and pieces to keep working on for that, again, long-term fiscal sustainability.
Mm-hmm. This is Caroline again. Yes, I'm very looking forward to working with Katie Costner, the city manager, who's required to deliver a balanced budget to the council in October at one of the meetings just shortly after the new council members take their seats. And so I've been looking forward to listening and really... I am deeply appreciative of the hard work that I know that the department heads have been giving her. I do think that the city is very transparent in their budget. You can go online and you can look at the 2017 budget. We could nitpick it apart, but I see the lights are still on as I go past and cars are in the parking lot. So I'm happy to say I haven't had I haven't seen anything that's really directly affected me in some of the cost-saving measures that they've had. So I think they've done it in a way that has not deeply hurt most people in our community. I think I'm going to be, it's going to be a steep learning curve for me. I was a principal, so I had the hands and a budget for a school, but that's not the same as the large amount that it takes to run a city. So for me, it'll be a steep learning curve that I'm looking forward to. And I know that the city is looking at all possibilities that there are, and I'm definitely going to be open. And I think this is something that the public can look at and be acquainted with. And the more you do that, the more stake you feel like you have in it. And I think that's important for all citizens.
All right, thanks. For those who are just tuning in, this is Coffee Table, and the guests here are people running for city council. I have Kim Ketter, Rachel Lord, Dwayne Nussville, and Carolyn Venuti. You can call in your questions at 235-7721 or toll-free 800-979-5224 or email info@kvbi.org. Let's go down the list one more time. How have you seen Homer change in the time that you've been here? And what would you like to keep going? And what would you like to see change differently? Starting with Dwayne.
Let's see. I came here in 1989 for the first time. This is my third trip back to Homer. I just couldn't get it out of my system how much I enjoyed this place. But in 1989... I remember taking a trip out of the boat harbor, and I was with one of my friends in their boat. And I don't know if the old timers would remember it, but how you had to dodge all the buoys from, you know, the crab pots, the shrimp pots, just all of the actually fishing that was just outside the harbor. And I it really makes me sad because I want to see them things for my grandkids. I think we need to look into the way we've handled our fisheries and what's causing the problems to see things turn the way they've turned. That's probably the biggest thing I remember when I was here in 1980. So I'd like to see them resources come back somehow and figure out what we did and what caused that problem. The other things is that I was really, really sad to see the Icicle seafood plant go away, and I don't understand that completely. I thought there was enough here to justify rebuilding that plant. But we need to figure out why things like that happened and come to a solution why that's taken place. So the good things are I am just happy to see the development here. I don't mind people. I know there's some people that don't like to see change like that, but I like to see the tourist industry seems to be doing really well, and bed and breakfast, B&B type businesses seem to be taking off. I'm really anxious to get my hands in that that opportunity myself. So, I just enjoy living here now. It's you know, I came here in 1980 and I left and started a few companies, and I just couldn't get this place out of my mind. I just had this big picture of the spit on my living room and thought about it every day, and so my dreams come true. I'm back here. And I'm planning to retire here, and not planning to be a snowbird. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the seasons here, and I guess that's
right. About thank it. You so much, Kimberly.
Well, since I've been here, I see change in some areas in Homer. I'm for the business and retention and expansion, for example, that was done, but I see increasing focus on businesses instead of citizens, especially the vulnerable populations. I think, and I noticed with the recall, you know, all the political tension and the influence coming from outside the city, for instance, I understand, you know, people in the borough work and live here, but I live here, and I put openly online, you know, that I must have had my house robbed. Well, now it's been about a month. I mean, and that's the kind of stuff that I have noticed increasing in the city. Drug use is becoming more apparent than it was when I first moved here, and I've only been here 2.5 years. I went and checked out the glaciers, you know, the environment, global warming. I got to mention that. They're rescinding the glaciers, and I noticed a lot of litter. Someone asked me, I'm not sure why, because we're not addressing it, but about plastic bags. And my response to that is, I want us to get a grip on our littering first. And then we'll revisit plastic bags, because I do support anything for the environment, especially because of not just people, but wildlife and industry with fishing and so forth. I have not seen any change in jobs. It seems auction blocks sold. I mean, and gentleman previous to me, you know, he mentioned Icicle. So, and the conditions on the spit, I noticed right next to the sports shed, the beach, you know, Mother Nature taking over. There's things, I mean, I was camping down there this summer, and excuse me, there's big metal pieces of pipe and stuff sticking out of the beach, and that bummed me out. But as far as a lot of focus on pleasing the tourists, I noticed stay steady, which obviously, you know, that brings in a lot of revenue, so we do have to do that, but I think there needs to be a healthy balance. I mean, because the citizens in the city are the ones that keep the city going. I mean, so in my opinion, without the citizens, there is no business and industry, and there is no tourism, because we're the ones that rough it out over the winter when everything's closed, and ours, we have no idea when they change, and because I look online a lot, and I don't know when they're changing from tourist hours and back, and so, yeah, we're the ones, you know, that have to be questioned about food tax. You know, food's already expensive. It's expensive to live here. And with the economy, I'm really nervous about that for a lot of people, because I know for myself it's hard to make it. And then I see a lot of people come here and try to make it or come and work. They'd work at auction block and want to stay. And then found out, I mean, it was impossible virtually. You know, they're thinking there's year-round jobs, like in the winter, and there isn't many job opportunities. I'd like to see, you know, more focus on the elderly. I have to commend though the Homer Senior Center. They're doing awesome in my opinion. They do a lot of great stuff. And last night I learned even more. Two nights ago, at the meeting, I learned even more of what they do, and that was a great presentation. And they definitely deserve to be congratulated on the hard work they do here in Homer.
I think, you know, first in just the last handful of years, I think the opioid epidemic is significant nationally, and I do think that that's having an increasing toll on our community. And that is definitely a big concern and something that I think the police station is addressing, that the state is trying to address, that the city needs to continue to have a hand in navigating. You know, I think that businesses come and go, and they are, I mean, you need to have jobs to be able to have people that can live here year-round if we're going to have a year-round working community. And you know, I think that our demographics are shifting and have been shifting, you know, and I see, you know, businesses, a lot of small businesses start and then they close. And I do think that we'll probably always struggle with the limitation of we live at the end of the road. This is a wonderful community, but we are only so many people. Even if you take in the whole Lower Peninsula area, you only have so many people here, which as a business, you only have so many customers. As a business, you only have so many employees. As a potential employee, you only have so many job opportunities. And I think, you know, my husband grew up here, and I really appreciate his perspective and his dad's perspective, being able to kind of be like, well, what was there, you know, and that this has been, you know, that's not a new story of that opening and closing and that shuttering and that shifting. But I think keeping an eye on what that looks like with changing demographics and what do we want? Do we want, you know, wanting our kids to be able to come back here and work or start businesses and raise their families and have strong education and have a safe community to live in? I think that takes constant attention and constant vigilance.
Thank you.
Quickly, this is Caroline. I just wanted to say that I've been coming to Homer since before the earthquake when I was young, believe it or not, in the first ferry in 1964. But what I see is changing is that we're more aware of the dangers and the perils and the misuse of alcohol and drugs, and that has brought in more social agencies. I think the hospital, the growth of the hospital has been a wonderful, really attribute to our community. It's a large employer, and it has given lots of people opportunities for jobs. The bypass coming in, I see some benefits to the bypass and that you could make a quick run out to the Spit, but one of the losses is to the downtown Pioneer Avenue businesses, that sometimes the bypass does too good of a job and they bypass the historical part of our community. Another thing that I wanted to say was that they see the college as spearheading ways to get involved in the marine industry, ways to get your associate degrees here, and several years ago, the college was hardly mentioned, and now you see it as a driving force in our community, providing opportunities for businesses. The other one I want to mention is the small business incubation program that I think is wonderful for people that want to start a small business here, so they are aware of the things that they could maybe avoid so that their business can be lasting. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. You're not going to get everything you want done when you're a city council member. You're going to run into some problems. So I want everyone to just go down the list, go down the line, starting with Carolyn, and explain a problem you've had recently and how you've overcome or compromised to make it work. So,
A personal problem?
If it's preferably professional, but
well,
if you can make it work, make it work.
This is that's a hard question. Usually I always see things as problems as opportunities to change. I suppose I was a little bit concerned when the animal shelter went to a different care manager when they had a contract out to it, because I have a dog and a cat. And we, in our neighborhood, I feed the birds, and I saw some feral cats, and that alarmed me. But I'm happy to report that I think that they are working with the public and are taking care of our animals again. And that is a responsibility of the city, is to, you can always gauge a city, I believe, in how well they take care of their animals and pets. And I see that this contract that we have is working. It's a little bit pricier, but I don't see as many wild cats out, and I definitely don't see dogs walking around the streets of Homer anymore endangering children.
Great, thank you, Rachel.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Jesse. I think the first thing that came to my mind is you know, we have a small farm, and it has been a tough year. It has been cold. My kind of plans for the year did not really pan out quite as I would have liked them to, and there's a lot of that that's outside of my control. And I think to some degree or to a large degree, there's, you know, aside from an overarching desire to have this be a working, sustainable community for my family, for my kids, for the future, that does a good job of balancing critical infrastructure, quality of life, et cetera. Like, I don't really particularly have any particular agenda or plan for council. And it's a little bit like the way, you know, my business, like I have an overall goal, but having that flexibility, being able to appreciate that things are always going to come up that are outside of your control, and being able to look at a big picture and try to figure out what are the things that you might have overlooked or not thought about, and how are you going to make it through and keep moving forward. And so always keeping that eye looking ahead, I think is critical.
Thank you. Kimberly?
Well, I hate to keep bringing up the recall, but the problem that came to my head first was I keep running into a select handful of borough folks that are business owners that like to try to discourage me, and they bring up everything from my addiction past in Pennsylvania, I mean, everything involving my son, and they've even been trying to disqualify me based on Pennsylvania law on some misdemeanors. So, you know, how I handled it was I keep moving forward. And I mean, I'll be honest, I did get out a little out of line once or twice. Not real, real bad, but I mean, I made one. Yeah, that was during the recall when I caught something and then it was informing voters, and these folks didn't like that. I mean, so, but it kind of blows my mind a little bit, needless to say. I'm not allowed in the Facebook rooms of Homer Communication and the Community Bulletin, which I think is campaign interference, if you ask me. That's where in Homer Communications, the bulletin was made because so many things were being posted in the political, about politics during the recall, all pro-recall stuff, same mailers that were coming to my home and things like that, and with the capital U's, you know, to get the reactionary voters out there. And I didn't say anything. I stayed out of it. I knew how I was going to vote, and I just kept it at that. But I was watching it, and then when I caught something that was inappropriate, didn't represent me as a Homer citizen, and I would hope it didn't represent, you know, the employees of other, you know, people that I'm not other because I don't own one, but other, you know, people that own businesses, I would hope that didn't represent them, and people got angry about it. I mean, even the local election gentleman said they're, you know, trying to discourage me. But you know, how I handled it was called the Division of Elections, inquired, and then called our community economic development. They also deal with local elections, and posted the information that doesn't disqualify me, and then posted the phone numbers and the gentleman I spoke with locally in the Division of Elections of Alaska. So if anybody had any inquiries, they could get right to the Kimberly Ketterhammer City Council page and get that information. I mean, I believe people should be informed. I believe people should see numbers and accounts. I feel there could be a lot more transparency. I mean, I hear people saying there's transparency, and there is to an extent. But, I mean, for instance, the police station, I don't even know how we come up with a cost when we don't have a design yet chosen. And I don't know why we looked at the two high options first instead of the lowest. So it's kind of like we went forward and then backwards. But I think now we're making better progress headed that way. I mean, I'm aware the police station, and I agree, it's definitely needed. So, yeah, when I run into issues, I just rise above. And you know, I posted to any addict that's struggling to not be, you know, not feel ashamed because of what they're going through, because I was being bashed for my passive addiction, which everybody, three of us up here so far, I haven't, you know, heard the gentleman. I'm not sure how he feels, so I'm not going to speak for him. But, yeah, the opioid crisis absolutely is a problem, and I'm highly qualified in that area. So I feel like they helped highly qualify me, and I take the high road. I try to always take the high road, you know.
All right, thank you.
The biggest thing about things not going your way is, are you committed? If you're committed to something, and you don't always agree with it, you make the best of it. If someone were to have a proposal, let's say, on the police station, and I didn't agree with it, I would do everything in my power to still get that police station in and figure out ways to help or to fulfill the needs that I thought were going to be taken care of, and still support what the rest of the council decided on. So I would, commitment is the big thing.
All right, thank you. We had a question emailed, so I want to get that done, but I want to do last speaking as well. So try to answer this briefly. What are your thoughts on complete streets in Homer, a community that provides safe access for people of all ages and abilities to navigate the day without a vehicle? I'll start with Dwayne.
That's a tough one. With funds not available, it's hard to do, and I, to put us in a financial crisis, it would be hard to do. I think what we have to do is step up to the plate as people. We have to meet the needs of people that need help, you know, be more neighborly. It's you know, it's a tough deal we're in right now, and it's the people that are going to make the difference.
All right, great. Kim?
I agree with Wayne that the other people are going to make a difference. I think I bike and I walk, and it can be really dangerous. I had a situation in front of my house on the Sterling Highway where I had to throw my bike down because there was children chasing a loose dog in the road, you know, young children right there. So, I mean, luckily, you know, I posted online too because, I mean, it was great community effort, you know, in action. And luckily a gentleman pulled over in the van because he was aware, but all the motorists at that time were all aware. Everybody slowed down and everybody, you know, was mindful. We have a lot of walkers and pedestrians, and that was my biggest concern, you know, about the ADA compliance. I mean, because I was wondering how we can promote businesses to become more ADA compliant. And of course the roads too need to be accessible. Not everybody's getting back into a vehicle. So,
Rachel?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the city balances or shares road responsibilities with the state. You know, within the city, mm-hmm. there are multiple entities that do road construction, road maintenance, same with sidewalks and then, you know, we have a lot of trails, and I think that those are extremely important. I do think that the capital money for new roads is so limited that maintenance has to happen and continue to be able to keep those roads safe and operable, that there is a lot of room for improvement, and that I don't think that anybody has a lot of over love for the transportation plan. It is fairly old, but that, you know, especially in a time of limited resources, that when we do make progress, when we do look at prioritizing, that we are looking at a holistic picture of all of our systems so that we can be making smart choices to fill the most immediate needs couched within a longer term.
All right, thank you, Carolyn.
Yeah, very quickly. I was on the Transportation Committee, and unfortunately, I was a few months into my term, and it just was ended. And they didn't ask us, it just ended. And if I am elected to the City Council, I'm going to pursue beginning a Transportation Committee again. I think it's really important for there to be some committee that looks at the whole picture. I learned so much in the few months that I served on it, and I was extremely disappointed when I wasn't. It just ended. So I'm thinking maybe it was a financial reason. So I'm thinking maybe they could do some work with the work sessions, maybe, and not involve a night meeting with a staff from the city. I think that's what it was about.
Okay, great. We have 5 minutes, so I'm going to let every candidate have 1 minute to the floor. I'll be timing. Carolyn, go.
Well, I want to ensure that Homer has a city council that's a listening city council. I move forward. I'm not looking backwards. And what disappoints me most is name calling. And I promise I will never call anyone a name. I would also like to encourage everyone to get out and vote, because what happens is made up by the voters. The voters, the people who are listening to this show and the ones who are going to look at our ads and read our signs along the road, you are the ones that will ascertain what happens. So I encourage everyone to get out and vote. September 18th is early voting, absentee voting. You can get on the City of Comer's webpage, find all the information, and make your call on that. But I encourage everyone to vote.
All right, thank you. Rachel.
Yeah, I would echo Caroline to please get out and vote, and that I sincerely hope there will be a strong turnout for this election. You know, I believe that right now we have a pretty balanced city council, and I think that is extremely important to have people sitting at the table that represent a lot of different views in the community that are able to listen. I will come to the table with respect and an open mind and the ability to critically think and ask important questions to help move the community forward to a place that we all want, not only to raise our kids, but to have our kids come back and raise their kids as well.
All right, Kim.
I agree, too, with Caroline and Rachel about voting. That's part of the reason I run, is because when I moved here, I noticed people were, you know, there's vacant seats. Even last election, there was only two, so since there was two seats, I ran. But, it's also because I noticed, I feel, there's a couple on the board now that seem to work hard for the people, and as the two previous women said, that those seats are important. So I urge people to not only get involved in the electoral process, but think about what they want for themselves and their families. And of course, I mean, all demographics, I mean, everybody needs to be looked at. I mean, no, you know, the business community can't be singled out. The citizens can't be singled out. Any industry can't be isolated and singled out. But I do see that the citizens seem to be singled out often, and a lot of the costs fall in our pockets. And I don't feel that is any kind of a social equality within our economy. So my focus is the needs of the people. One of the things I'd like to do committee-wise, because commissions cost us to establish commissions. So I think one needs to be just for addiction. It's a comprehensive approach. I think, you know, people first, we need to make people more aware of what it is, and not only that it's a disease, but, you know, accept it. I didn't define it. The American Medical Association did.
All right, thank you.
I would encourage everybody to vote too. Vote for your candidate that you feel like most represents you. I would like to emphasize the situations that we're in. And there's a lot of things that need to be brought up and need to be taken care of, and what's the best way to meet them needs. I look at Homer, and I just think this city has a potential to make shockwaves through this state. And I think we have the perfect location to move into some industries and to grow and to bring working, tax-paying people into this community. And and when you have that, most of your other needs are met. The roads, the police departments, and all of the other things are met. So anyways,
thank you so much. I want to thank all my guests, Kim Keller, Rachel Lord, Dwayne Nussville, and Carolyn Venuti. Thank you so much for everyone who emailed, everyone who called. We're doing this tomorrow, 9 a.m. with Andy Keita, Stephen Mueller, Sarah Vance. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.